Welcome to today's episode of the Career Confidence Podcast. Today, I sit down with Stella Noutsis. Stella is the current program manager of UniSuper, and we dive in to exactly the steps she took in order to get there. Now, it hasn't been an upwards journey. Stella actually took a big chunk off, 8 years, to raise her three beautiful children. She goes into detail about what she experienced coming back into the workplace, the imposter syndrome, the lack of confidence, and how she built that back up. It's an incredible story, and I know you're going to get a lot of takeaways from this. But I also just want to take a moment before we dive into that conversation today to thank one of our sponsors, UniSuper. I want to just say how grateful I am for their support this year. They have enabled us to run our events, run our mentorship program, and have supported this podcast. So thank you, UniSuper. Very grateful for your support this year. And what an incredible organization it is that truly does support women. So huge shout out. And I really hope you enjoy this episode today. As always, let me know what your biggest takeaway was. And over to Stella. Stella, welcome to the Career Confidence Podcast. It's so good to have you here today. We've been going back and forth trying to do this. Obviously, you are one of the amazing mentees in our Sisterhood Club mentoring program. So we're going to talk about that and the power of mentorship and why it's important for our careers. But before we dive into yourself, your career, UniSuper and everything that's going on there, give me a bit of an overview into who is Stella and your personal career journey. So over to you.
Okay. Hi, I'm Stella Noutsis. And as you said, I'm program manager at UniSuper. My career journey, really, I started out in the IT graduate program at an insurance organization. So finishing university, I was a bit confused as to what I wanted to get into in IT. So I did study a Bachelor of IT. And I landed in a graduate program, which really helped me try bits and pieces of IT that I guess I didn't really have exposure to. So on the graduate program, you go through different areas in IT. So I could see kind of where I wanted to land. And, you know, I worked in the networking space and the database space. And then I landed in project management. And I think my love for organizing and time management and keeping things in check came through when I was in that space, and I really wanted to, you know, explore that a bit more. And it kicked off from there. So I started as a project coordinator at IAG, and from there I moved up. I moved up through to project management, and then I became a senior project manager, and all in IT. So I guess my flavor of bachelor degree was in IT, and that's kind of what took me through to IT project management. I also had a career break to raise my three kiddos. So I had 8 years off. And during that 8 years, I was definitely thinking, how do I get back in it? How do I get back to where I left things? So that's my journey at the beginning. And then I did get back into it. Wasn't easy. There were lots of challenges coming back from an 8 year gap. I do remember not being able to compile an email in those first few weeks after an 8 year break with baby brain. But from that, I was able to get back into the IT recruitment space, actually. So went into a recruitment for a year or so. And from there, I was able to kind of see what was coming through in terms of the project management space and what experience was required. So it kind of gave me the other side of things and you know, what was out there, what I missed in that 8 years, and where I needed to up my skills, I guess, to be competitive again and get back into the game. So whilst I was recruiting others, I was also looking at the roles myself and thinking, how can I get back into it? And I was offered an opportunity to come back as a project manager. And then I'd like to say I worked myself up again. I had to go through the chain again, but I got there much quicker than the first time. But it was scary. It was a big experience coming from 8 years of a gap, raising children, and then getting back into IT and back into project management. And I've been back at work now for 10 years and recently stepped up into a program management position. Again, in IT, at UniSuper, I'm in IT, and I've only just recently moved across into the business space. So yeah, that's kind of my journey so far.
There's a lot actually to unpack in that.
Yeah.
There's a lot actually. So there's a lot of women that will be listening to this now, and I know I can imagine exactly what they want to ask you. So the first thing I want to ask you actually, before I dive into that 8 years and things like that, I think that's really important to touch upon that. But what got you actually interested in the first place to go into IT? Because there's not many women getting into it. And I can imagine there was even less when you were sort of going through that sort of process. So what was it about the industry that really appealed to you?
I think it was my love for IT. So I loved anything kind of gadgets and technology. And I was always into the latest and greatest phones. I mean, back then there were the flippy Ericsson things. And I was always helping I think the influence came from my dad, helping my dad with remotes and satellite dishes and anything that was coming in the house tech-wise. And I always had this curiosity and, I guess, want to fix things for people. I was always very, I think that's the stubbornness in me, my mum would say, that I wanted to try and fix things. And I saw IT as an exciting thing that I could, you know, go in there and help out and try and learn more about it. It was a new space. I mean, I remember the first time getting our computer, you know, the big boxy things, and my brother and I would fight over it, who would get to play on the computer most. And I think just during school, that was my favorite subject. So IT was my favorite subject. I enjoyed it. It was new. So it was very new back in those days. It was fresh. And I remember my parents saying to me, you know, it's the new thing. It's the new latest and greatest thing. You should get into IT. And honestly, it was that comment from my parents. And I went, okay, yeah, maybe I should. I did do well in high school. I did enjoy it. I do like fixing, you know, IT problems in the home. I kind of became the go-to person. And yeah, that's kind of what pushed me into that area. But you are right. There aren't many women in IT, not even today. But it's a curiosity, and I think if you like to solve problems, you'd really enjoy IT. I think, to be honest, there's always a different day. Every day is different. Every day there's a different problem, and we're always, you know, learning new things, and you have to keep up with that. I know with IT, it's changing not daily, it's hourly. So what I learnt back in high school is not what they learn these days, and I like that because it's not boring. No boring days for me. Yeah.
Definitely not. And especially with the next decade we're going to be moving into, it's going to be very, very interesting. Really interesting that your parents' comment really pushed you in that direction. I think it's just a real important message is for the parents out there to be aware of what they're saying to their children and how they're encouraging them to choose certain subjects and certain things. Because, you know, I probably reflect back on my childhood a bit. You know, my dad was a brickie by trade, and then he went on to have his own bricklaying business, and my mum worked in the bank. So neither of them were very technical, and we did have a computer in the house, but it wasn't, I guess, like the only thing my dad used a computer for was emails, you know? So it wasn't like anyone really had a real interest in tech. But I think had I have had some sort of role model in my life, I probably, like you, I love solving problems. I've got that sort of creative mindset. So I think tech could have actually been a really good career choice for me, but I maybe wasn't exposed to people who were working in technology, which was interesting. So look, let's sort of dive into then. So you come out of university, you've got your graduate, you start as a project coordinator, you started to sort of work your way up. Where were you before you decided to take those 8 years off? Like, was that a conscious decision? Did that just sort of like happen quite naturally? Like, because that's a long time to take off. So talk me through the next, like, you just graduated and just before you take leave, like what were you doing at that point?
So I graduated and then I started my job at IAG. So I was actually there for 8 years before I took that 8 years off, and it was to have my children. So I had my first child and then second and third very quickly. So I've got three with 2 year age gaps. So essentially I was out of work because of that. I wanted to raise the kids. I wanted to stay home. I couldn't see doing my role and the kids being so young at the same time. So I couldn't really work through what that balance looked like. And importantly, work from home was not an option back then. Yeah. So I think if things were different and the work from home option was around, I think it would have been a little bit easier because, you know, you could have your parents help with pickups and drop-offs whilst you're still in the home. It's not, you know, such a long commute outside of the house, you know, going into the office, because we were in the city back then as well. So it was quite a long commute for me. Yeah, and that break was just to raise the children and get them to a point where two were at school, the little one was still at home, but then I was ready to get back. I think I was ready to get back into the workforce year four. But I only had two at the time, but I was like, yeah, I'm getting a little bit bored. So I did dabble into different things at home. I did photography and, you know, sold things on eBay and just trying to get through. But then that eight-year mark came along. My little one was 3 years old and I thought, okay, it's time to get back into the workforce. Very daunting. It was a challenge. The first year was really tough. Like I said, I couldn't compose an email. I think I sat at my desk thinking, what do I write? Is it dear whoever? Is it hello? Is it two? Is it? It was really tough. You know, the mind, you lose that. The baby brain took over and it was hard to get back into it. But once I did, it was like riding a bike. And I'm not saying that loosely. It's true. It comes back to you. It does come back to you, but it takes time. It takes time. Yeah.
Yeah. I think there's lots of different conversations we could have right now, but I think like a lot of women that I speak to, they would probably actually maybe love to be in your shoes, like to actually be able to take a longer maternity leave. But the reality is with the cost of living crisis and all of that kind of stuff, yep. they actually can't afford to do that. And they're faced with and I think that the best thing that came out of COVID, there wasn't many, but one of the good things came out was this remote working. It really accelerated hybrid remote work, right? And I fear that what's sort of happening with some of the mandates coming into play, that we could end up sort of taking a step back and actually falling behind. And as you said, if remote work was an option, you probably would have gone back to work sooner and gone, not taken fully 8 years. But for those yes. women out there right now that, you know, would love to take more time off, but perhaps, you know, they're really juggling having a young family and working, like throughout that period, Stella, like what sort of advice would you give to them? Like to really sort of like, do you think you can do both well, or do you think something's got to sort of like give in order for you to still be to raise conscious children and still have a career? Do you think it's possible is what I'm asking you from your personal opinion, from what you went yep. through?
Huge question. I do think it's possible. I do think it's possible. But you need to have certain things in place. And I think the biggest thing for me is, you know, they say it takes a village to raise a child, and that's absolutely true. I had the help of my parents, you know, with drop-offs, pickups. I still do today. I mean, I stayed home those 8 years, but then once I went back to work, I still had a three-year-old. So I had two in primary school, still a young child, and she wanted mummy home. And that was tough for me, but it is doable. If you have that village, that help, and also the support of your partner. My husband was really supportive of me going back to work. And I think my self-confidence was quite low, thinking, you know, I've been out of the game for so long. IT has changed and moved forward so much. Will I know what they're talking about? Will I be, you know, in it? Do I need to do training before I get back to work? But he was my best supporter and my best, you've got this. You can do it. You've done it before. Just keep going. You'll be okay. So I think you need that support from home to be able to do it. And then the other thing is organization. You need to be organized. You need to be planning things the night before. You know, I know my husband and I sit down on a Sunday. Are you working from home tomorrow or am I? Who's dropping off the kids? Who's doing what? What activities do we have on? What's happening with the cooking? Things like that. So it's a full-time job just to juggle the conversation around how you keep things moving in the household. But it does take a village. You need people around you to support you. It is absolutely doable. I mean, look at me. I think, you know, I'm in a career with three kids at home, working full time and parenting. And I think the option of working from home has really helped that. But again, organization, support 100% and confidence in yourself that you can do it. Don't allow anyone to tell you that you can't. We really need to believe in ourselves, because if we don't, that shows, and we need to be confident, and we need an organization that understands that as well. We need to find the right place to work. So many organizations are very, I mean, obviously in tech land, it's very male dominant. It is, that's just how it is at the moment. I mean, we're trying to shift that, but we're still many, many years away from it, I think. But we're getting there, but we need an organization to understand we're mum when we say we need to get home to the kids or the kids are sick or, you know, we want to go to an award ceremony. It's just that understanding, you know, that you need to get. So I think finding the right role and the right organization is really important. Sometimes you have to sacrifice the role to have the right organization or, you know, that kind of thing. Think about what's important, but it's absolutely doable with mm-hmm. organization and support and the right conversations with future employees, I think is really important.
No, I completely agree with you. And I think corporates and organizations have a really big part to play in this, which is, you know, why I'm like, so obviously I've got a recruitment company that's sort of like my bread and butter. And a lot of the clients that I work with, they are looking to hire more females into their business. But then when they say things to me like, oh, but we've mandated 4 days back in office. And I'm thinking, well, unfortunately, the lot of women that look, and again, don't want to bucket all women into one bucket, right? Because actually, I also do know a lot of women that are just solely focused on their career. They have got kids, but their husband actually takes more of an active role, right? So let's not bucket women into one thing. And I think that if you're a female that has got your, you know, got a very supportive husband at home that's more taking the active role, good on you. That's fantastic as well. But let's just sort of take like, I guess the more traditional role of a mum. She does want to be home for school pickup and drop off. And, you know, I think that when organizations say to me, oh, this has to happen and, you know, there's no flexibility, but we want to hire more women. I do challenge that because there's a lot of the women that I do work with and are looking for opportunities with organizations that do offer that flexibility. And I think if we want to bring more females into technology, this is one of the jobs that you can do remote. This is one of the jobs that you don't need to be in the office 5 days a week, right? Come into the office once, twice, maybe three times for a bit of collaboration and whatever, but it shouldn't be mandated. I just think that hybrid, I do think is a really great blend of both, but I would love to just see organizations just continuing this flexibility piece. Because it's really, really important if we want to support women and allow them to be great mums and also have a very successful career. Because I agree with you, Sally, you can do both, but you can't sort of like without the support of work and the home life, you're not going to do both well.
That's
really, really key piece. Let's talk about now then, you've taken your 8 years off and you're coming back into the workforce. Now, interestingly, I didn't know this about you. So this is really interesting. You went into recruitment. How did that role come about? Were you like, I mean, God, a year in recruitment, it feels like 10 years, I'm sure. Like, that's a big change. Yes. Talk to me about how that sort of came about.
Yeah, sure. So the key point on this one is networking. So I kept my network when I left IAG. So I stayed in contact with a lot of the management that I'd met, a lot of colleagues, and I remained friends actually with a lot of people. And when I was looking for a job, when I was looking for my next opportunity, I used LinkedIn. So I put it up on LinkedIn and I said, you know, open to opportunities, open to work. And an old colleague of mine, Cam, if you're watching, he contacted me and he said, Stella, I'm currently working with this organization and we really need like an information technology consultant that can assist with things like recruitment, you know, organizing. They've got a mentorship program assisting with coordinating that. Are you interested? It's a part-time opportunity. And I'll be honest, as soon as I heard part-time, my ears pricked up. I was like, yes, that's what I need. I need, and it's in IT. So I need to get back into IT. I need a part-time role. You know what? Why not? Let's just give it a shot. So I went in for the interview and I'll be honest, I had no experience in recruitment other than being on the other side and being interviewed. I dove straight in and took a chance. I had a great mentor, Belinda. She was just amazing and she taught me everything I know now about recruitment. So I did that for a couple of years actually. And whilst roles were coming in, I made sure that, you know, I was looking at what was coming through, what skills they needed in IT, because I was actually recruiting project managers. So I was interviewing them and I got to learn the insights of what we're looking for, what big organizations are looking for, what qualifications they're looking at. Because when you come out of high school, you think that you're your score is really important. Then when you come out of university, you think it's your degree that's really important, but it's actually more than that. We look for more than that. And what I learned in recruitment is those first few minutes of a conversation, that first impression that you get of someone, that's really what kind of plays the biggest role in whether or not you're going to hire someone and, you know, if you gel, if you click, if they're culturally the right fit. So it's more than that. So if it's anything to learn, it's networking, and it's not just about a score in at high school. It's not just about a degree. It's a lot of things. It's other skills and qualifications that you bring. And as women, I think we're just naturally great organizers and time management, because we have to be. We dabble into so many things. Yeah. So that was my recruitment experience for a couple of years. Yeah.
Well, lucky you, and some really key points in there about that, keeping in contact with your network.
Yeah, absolute for sure.
Genius. Really, really like great, really, really important. I preach that all the time. I'm like, you know, your network is your net worth. Make sure you keep in contact with people. And, you know, just because you're, you know, sort of on mat leave doesn't mean you have to just shut down your LinkedIn profile. Like, you know, that's really important. And then I love the fact that you went into recruitment and you started paying attention to what all the skills were. You picked up the fact that it's not just all about your qualifications, it's about the first 3 minutes. And I'm sure that equipped you then when you went on to get your next role, that you were able then to sort of nail an interview, because you were like, right, I've coached people on how to do this.
Yeah,
now I've got
to
like, correct. Exactly. Yeah. Now it's my turn. Just sort of going back to the confidence piece, right? Because, you know, obviously, like you said, you know, you spent hours just sort of putting an email together. Like, how did that feel like the first day of going back into work? Because I can imagine so many women have probably been through this, or maybe there's a woman right now that's on maternity that's about to come back into the workforce. Like, how did you deal with that? How did you deal with those, I'm sure you had a bit of imposter syndrome, a lack of confidence. Yeah. Like, what was that like?
All of that. Yeah. Mm. It was really tough, and it's really scary to be in an organization, especially at the time for me, where everyone's been there for quite some time. There wasn't anyone that hadn't been there for, you know, less than 3 years. And here I am, 8 year break, recruiting IT professionals. I had imposter syndrome. I was like, what am I doing? But I learned, and I was trying to be a sponge off everyone around me. And one thing I did, and I continue to do this, and I think COVID pushed me to do it even more when I started a new role during COVID, is I went and kind of almost interviewed everyone that I was working with, just to get a little bit of insight into what they do, what their challenges are. Is there anyone that I need to be careful of? Is there anyone that's kind of a bit, I don't know, scary, more difficult to deal with? Are there any challenges I'm going to have? I'd rather know them earlier before I have that interaction. I just tried to learn as much as I could and just keep listening to my husband telling me, you've got this, you can do this, it's okay. And I keep saying it, but it's true. You need to be around the people that are in your corner, because when your confidence is low and you come back from an 8 year break, it's not easy to get back. And I'll be honest, it's taken me years to get the confidence back and feel like, yeah, I deserve this and I should be here. It's not an easy journey, I don't think. And yeah, I feel for women. I feel for anyone coming off a break. It's not just women. It's tough, but just learn as much as you can. I also did quite a bit of LinkedIn learning. So I went on and just did some short courses, you know, making sure my CV was ready to go for any opportunities that came up. Like you said about LinkedIn, profile up to date always. And just keeping my networks up, I think, as well. And also mentorships were really important for me. So the colleague of mine, Cam, that actually hired me with this organization, I always went to him for feedback, just asking, how am I going? Is there anything I need to do differently? Just to keep a check, you know, a bit of a sense check of how I was going, how everyone was viewing me. Do I look like a fish out of water? Because I really feel like one. So just checking in with everyone around me was helpful.
Really, you just said something really interesting then, because Pam and I did a workshop the other day at 7-Eleven, and we talked about this very thing you've just subtly said. You probably portrayed very external confidence. Like people looked at Stella and thought she's competent, she can do the task at hand, she's got this. Internally, that's the piece that you had to really go on a journey with and build that back up and build that self-assurance and stack that belief in yourself. I've got this. But what you did was really powerful, is that like probably no one around you thought, oh, Stella's a bit nervy today, or Stella is acting a bit strange. You portrayed this confident, you know, assertive woman, but inside, that's the journey that you've had to go on. And I think that's, a lot of people can really relate to that. And I think true confidence is when we can align our internal and our external and come together. So curious, Stella, for like the women listening to this right now that maybe looking in, people go, oh, she just looks so proficient and so polished and she's so great at her job. But inside, they feel like an imposter. Inside, they're questioning their worth and have I got this? Was there anything that helped you build up that internal belief that matched your external projection that you were putting out into the workplace? Thank you so much for listening to today's podcast. I wanted to quickly pop in and talk to you about our amazing supporter, CH Talent Solutions. We are an IT and digital recruitment company based in Australia. If you are someone right now looking for a new opportunity or considering a career pivot, please reach out to one of our consultants. Or if you are somebody looking to build your team or build your company or scale, again, please reach out to us if you are looking to find the best tech talent fast. I look forward to connecting with you. Now back to today's episode. Enjoy.
Yep. There was a really big pivotal moment for me. I actually went on a Women in Leadership course. So I did a Women in Leadership course, and I found with that, I was in a room full of women that portrayed themselves as being so confident. Some were CEOs, some were CIOs, some were CTOs, some were project managers like myself, program managers, you know, all different walks of life walking into this room. We were all there to learn from one another and, you know, learn leadership styles, but we all had the same challenge about ourselves. And we all had that inner talk of, I'm not good enough, I can't do this. Mm-hmm. And just hearing those stories from these women that I was looking at going, oh my God, you're amazing. How can you speak so eloquently? And you, like, you've got it all together, but yet you've got four kids at home. And how is this happening? I actually felt normal, and I felt, okay, I'm not the only one. That was huge for me. And it only happened a couple of years ago. So that pivotal moment for me was that. It was hearing from other women. And I think we don't do it enough. We don't talk to other women enough about, you know, how is your self-confidence? Just because you're getting up on stage and speaking to 500 people, that doesn't mean that you don't have that internal dialogue of, I'm not good enough yet. And hearing it, being really honest and raw with everyone in that room, I think that really pushed me to go, oh yeah, okay, it's normal. This is just how it is. I don't know why it's normal, and I don't think that it should be normal, but it is. That's kind of, I don't know how we feel as women. I don't know what it is. Yeah. We must change it, but yeah.
You've absolutely just touched upon something that is just so crucial. And it's actually the reason why I started this podcast. It's the reason why I host the events. It's the reason why I started the mentorship program, because what you just said then is so powerful, because we as women look at other women and go, oh, look at her. She's so successful. She knows what she does. But actually, all of us are constantly work in progress. No one's got it all figured out. No one's, you know, wakes up in the bed in the morning and just feels fantastic all year round. Like, we all have going through different sort of elements and things in our life. And that whole vulnerability piece, just being like sharing your experiences of what it's like to be a woman, and sharing the struggles of being a working mom, and all of these things, and not judging ourselves or each other.
Yeah.
We need to stop this. This is why I started Sisterhood Club, because that to me is true Sisterhood Club. When I can say to you, Stella, I'm really struggling at the moment, actually. Can I tell you that what happened last week? It was really knocked my confidence. And you can say, well, actually, Georgie, yeah, I went through something really similar a couple of months back. And, you know, I totally can understand how you're feeling right now. And actually, this is what I did that's really helped me through that. Let's have more of those conversations, right? We don't all want to be like putting out this negativity and like being like, yeah, me too. We want to be like, I understand what you're saying because I've experienced this, and this is how I've moved beyond that. And then you might come to me, and we've all got these stories to share, and that's how we're going to uplift each other
to be the
most confident, empowered versions of ourselves. So thank you for sharing that. And Yeah, I think it's just a really, really important point that you've just made, that when women come together and share and are vulnerable, amazing things can happen and impact can be made. So super powerful.
And that's when we grow. That's when we grow.
Absolutely.
Because we're out of our comfort zone. We're into the deep end, being vulnerable, sharing that it's actually not that easy for me. And it's I don't like public speaking, but I have to do it. It's part of my role. And, yeah, talking through that really helps me. Yeah. Mm.
Yeah, 100%. And so, look, let's talk about now. So you finished your recruitment little lucky you. Lovely, it's in recruitment. Couldn't wait to get out. But no, then you sort of moved back into project management. How did that look like? You know, sort of what was that journey like? And take me up to like UniSuper.
Okay. Yep. So let me think back now. So that journey, so I started off as project manager. So then I had to kind of work my way back up to what they call senior project manager. But again, thrown into the deep end. So it was still, you know, I had the 8-year gap, then 2 years in recruitment, then back into project management. I was petrified because I was given my first project. That went really well. My first project went really well, but it was very small. But I think because of my experience and where I'd come from and the way I was clearly portraying myself, they said, oh, we'll give you something bigger. And by bigger, it was a lot bigger. And my confidence just went, oh, I can't do this. What do you mean? It's a $2 million project. It was really tough to kind of get past that. The imposter syndrome was huge. And I really struggled that first probably 6 months. And I started to reach out to a lot of the team there that were already running projects, just, again, tips and tricks, trying to learn from everyone around me. How do you do this? How are you, you know, working through that? My manager was amazing. So he was a great mentor for me. I explained to him that, you know, I've come out of the workforce, gone into a recruitment role, and I just need a little bit of time to get, you know, my feet back on the ground. So I think just being honest was a good start. And even back then, this was way pre-COVID, I was doing work from home. So I actually asked for hybrid because they wanted to hire me full time. So I was in recruitment part time for a couple of years. And then this role that came up was actually full time. So that was a big transition for me. I still had my little one. She was in childcare, actually. So two in school, one in childcare, full-time project management role, absolute deep end is what I felt. what do I do? and I just started swimming, I guess. I just started. I kept going. I asked if I could do some, you know, outside courses just to get familiar with the term agile, because that wasn't around when I finished up before having my children. So I learned more about agile and just the new IT flavors that were coming through. So the cloud was huge back then when I first started. I didn't know what it was. I didn't know what, you know, I had to learn all of that. So I did a lot of courses, a lot. And that helped. A lot of it was way over my head technically, but I had to wrap my head around it so that I could actually, you know, run these projects within this organization. And then COVID came through and that was really tough. We went from, you know, full-time in the office in the city to one day everyone, we're working from home as of tomorrow and we don't know when we will be back. So it was tough. That was really tough to go home and just pick up from there. Because project management, there's a lot of collaborating, a lot of meetings and in-person workshops and things like that. And then to just go home and do that was tough. I struggled with the beginning of that. And then I was looking for a new opportunity whilst COVID was on. I don't kind of know how that came about, but I was looking for something different. And throughout COVID, towards kind of, I think it was, when was it, 2020, the end of 2020, I found this opportunity with UniSuper. So I was looking around, but I was also nervous because obviously it was all work from home. So I literally put one laptop down and pick up another one, and that's it. You've transitioned to the other organization. And that's what I did. So that was really daunting. So having to work from home during COVID whilst I was in my previous role was fine because I knew everyone, I had the relationships. We were then all just working from home, continuing on with our work. But leaving that role and walking into UniSuper, I knew no one. I hadn't met anyone. literally couriered one laptop out, put the other one on my desk. And I remember having a phone call with my manager and he gave me my project and I said, oh, okay, yep, that's great. Who do I speak to? Which tech teams do this? Who's in which team? And he didn't have the time to dedicate to walk me through all of that. So that was tough. That was a challenge because he was only getting his foot around, you know, the COVID scenario and working from home. So I was kind of in the deep end with Stella, go and build your relationships. Stella, go and find out who everyone was. And again, network, network, network. I started booking 15-minute calls with everyone that was within my, you know, space, all the project managers. And I remember people messaging me saying, oh, Stella, you've accidentally booked a 15-minute catch up with me. And I'm like, no, that's not an accident. I actually just want to get to know you. What are your challenges at UniSuper? How do you run projects? What's the governance like? What's reporting? You know, all of that work stuff that I wanted to find out. But also, do you have kids? What's your home life like? So I wanted to kind of connect with people on a different level so that they could also help me and support me. If they didn't know who I was, then who's this annoying Stella asking me when we need to do reporting? So my first 2 weeks, and I'm not even joking, I think I interviewed about 100 people. I had calls with about 100 people. Yeah. And I just kept spreading it out. Then I went to the tech teams. Who are you? What do you do? Yeah, I'm a talker. Can you tell? So I just tried to absorb as much information as I could. And I didn't meet anyone for a year. So I worked online at UniSuper for 1 year without meeting anyone in person. Then you can imagine when I met people, I was like, oh, you're a lot taller than I thought, or you're a lot shorter than I thought. My brain was, you know, struggling with that. So I started as a senior project manager, and then I've now been at UniSuper for 4 years and recently took the role of program manager. And how that kind of came about is I've got a great manager, Norma, who really supports me and holds up the mirror to say, Stella, you can do this. Stella, you can. I have faith in you. And I think that's really important, is that you have a manager or managers or people around you that can see what you can achieve, can see your potential. And I think she sees that in me. And she really pushed me. And I think she asked me on two occasions, Stella, I think you should step up into a program manager role. And I remember I said, no, my initial thought was, no, I can't do that. What do you mean? I'm not ready. I'm scared. That means more public speaking. That was my first thought. That means more presentations. I don't want to do that. And she stopped asking me, actually, and then a couple of months went by and I had gone to this Women in Leadership forum, did a couple of other courses about public speaking, and I can't remember exactly what it was, but I felt more confident as the time was going. And I think she saw that in me. She saw the change and she came back to me and she said, I think you're ready to take the next step. And I was like, okay, you know, hesitantly. Why do we hesitate? I don't know. I've always hesitated to take the next step, the next leap. And I think it's that self-belief that you just always think that I'm not going to be good enough, or they're not going to like me, or they're going to expect different of me. And probably only in the last 18 months is where I could confidently say I feel confident in what I'm doing. I know I can do this, and I feel and believe all the things that people have been telling me that I should have earlier. But yeah, so that's what brought me here. Yeah.
That is just such a journey. And just fascinating how literally you shut one laptop, opened another laptop, and then, oh, back into a new job. That is so surreal. When you look back, you go, God, what a crazy world we were living in. And then you sort of booked those 100 meetings, which is just, you just took that initiative.
Yeah.
And like that in itself is like, that doesn't just come naturally to some people. So the fact that you were like, yep, I want to get to know everybody, and like that, that's fantastic that you did that. So I think that that's a really key sort of point that I want people to really take away, that you took the initiative. Like people weren't there, like that guy was like, I haven't got time for this seller, but I've got enough to do. And you were like, right, what now? Cool. And you just took the initiative to do that yourself, which is really, really very, very credible. And then I guess the other thing that I sort of want to really sort of point out and take away is that the power of that leader, Norma, that saw that potential in you and how she was just like, you've got to do this. And then obviously that inner critic was holding you back a bit, but obviously not enough for you not to take some action. So you started doing, you know, a leadership course, public speaking, and sort of starting to sort of like, okay, I can do this. And that took courage to do that. So you must have some form of like belief in yourself, because if you didn't have that, you wouldn't even done that. So I think like, give yourself some credit. Yeah. Like that was definitely a really good step that you took, because people that really don't have any self-belief would never even taken that first step, and you did. And then that obviously got noticed. But I think it's just prime example here, Stella, of like how when you get into the driving seat of your own career and your own life, and you are constantly bettering yourself and improving yourself over time, people do start to recognize that. And then that's how you get noticed, and that's how opportunities come to you. You don't just sit there and things come to you. You've got to really go and get them. But the first thing you need to do is continue to upskill yourself and make yourself seen more valuable in an organization. That's where the opportunities come. So I love how you've just taken so much initiative in your career and really driven it forward. I want to touch upon now the whole mentorship piece, because obviously UniSuper gratefully enables us to run this podcast. It's a big sponsor for us, helps us with our events and our new mentorship program as well. So you are being mentored at the moment as part of Sisterhood mentorship program. What's that been like, and why do you think, because you've had mentors throughout your career, what part have they played in getting you to where you are today?
Huge, huge part. The best thing for me is that sounding board, being able to go to them to say, I'm having this issue, I've tried this, it's not working, what do you think? Or in your experience, you know, how did you tackle this? That sounding board for me is really important. Or I'm looking at taking this next leap into program management, you know, what should I be afraid of? What should I be looking at? Do I need to upskill? Am I the right person? Just helping me see the things that maybe I might be missing, or seeing things differently. I think it's perspective for me. Yeah, sometimes I can become overwhelmed with the job, you know, the task at hand, and the organization's so big and I've got a big budget and all this. And they kind of check me back in and go, well, hang on a minute. What actually is it that we're trying to do here? You've done this before. It's just that reminder of you can do this, Stella. Yeah, it's almost that they hold a mirror up without doing that. I don't know. It helps me with my confidence, and it helps me to hear from their experiences and to learn. I've taken something from everyone around me that's mentored me and continues to mentor me. And I think you need someone to go to that's going to be really honest and give feedback. I think feedback's really important. And I know at UniSuper, we have a really great 360-degree feedback system where you can ask for feedback and it comes back, and then you can give feedback on yourself, and, you know, you kind of talk through that. That was really helpful for me as well, to hear what other managers saw in me that I actually never really saw in myself, to be honest. Mm-hmm. But it gives you the confidence, because if that's what I'm portraying, oh, well, that's great, because that's actually what I want them to see. But mm-hmm. I'm not seeing it because I'm in it. So definitely a sounding board, and just always there to listen, but also to help with any challenges that I've had, I think. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Huge for me.
And for me as well, Stella, I feel like I've had some mentors, some coaches, but it's the mentorship that's probably been the most powerful, because I guess the role of a mentor is, like you say, it is just that sounding board. It's just that person to say, look, you know, this is what I'm going through right now. And typically they've gone through something very similar, and it's just like them listening and them being like, you're doing actually all the right things. Sometimes that's all it is. Sometimes you just need someone to say, keep going. Don't stop, you know, like, because, you know, if I reflect on, like, I've had CH Solutions now for 7 years, there's been moments in that journey where I've really questioned myself and gone, can I do this? Can I run this business? Am I good enough? Right. And at those points, I've had a mentor to say, yes, you are. You're actually doing all the right things. What you need is patience. Right. You need actually a bit of patience because it's not going to happen overnight, you know? So just keep that perspective. Like you said, that perspective there is so powerful, but finding the right mentor is also really important. I don't know about you, but it's like, you don't need somebody that's like really like 10 years down the track of really where you see yourself. Maybe it's just someone that's 2-3 steps ahead of you.
Yep.
I feel like that's sort of where you can really relate to that person the most, because they've just gone through something quite similar maybe in the last 2-3 years, and they can just help guide you through that little bump in the road or sort of get you out of the valley or whatever it may be to on to the next thing. So likewise, Stella, for me and you, I think it's been very important for our careers.
Yeah, for sure. And and sometimes you need a few mentors. Like the, it's the rule doesn't have to be that you only have one mentor. So I have different mentors for different kind of areas, if that makes sense. Yeah. And they're important for different reasons.
100% Like, you know, when I was sort of like doing sort of like some real intense sort of health stuff, when I was like training for things, I'd have a mentor for that and then a mentor for business. And absolutely. Just like, you know, different elements of our life. But so look, you're the program manager at UniSuper right now. Like there'll be people like, what does that mean? What does that involve? Like, can you sort of give a bit of an overview of like what your day to day looks like? And, you know, just a bit, because I do think like I want to sort of like, I guess, peel back the curtains of tech. Just just a little bit, and just sort of like program manager at UniSuper sounds like a big important role. Like, what are you doing day to day? Like, what are your, what are you tasked with?
Okay. So tasked with, there's a lot of meetings in program management. There's a lot of talking. So there's a lot of keeping our sponsors, so the sponsors of the program, whatever program we're running, keeping them up to date, making sure that, you know, our executives are happy with where we're heading. So we're obviously tasked with an objective. We're trying to achieve an outcome and benefits that come with that. So keeping a check and making sure that that's the path that we're going on, and making sure that the delivery is within schedule, within budget. You know, so it's like project management, but it's that step up where the program has, you know, multiple streams underneath, and we could have multiple project managers within a program as well. So day to day, a lot of meetings, a lot of checking in with teams and other project managers that sit, you know, within the program. Financials is huge as well. So making sure that the program financials are going well and, you know, against the budget. What else is there? A lot of problem solving. So I always say, bring me solutions, people, not problems, but it's not how it works. So there is a lot of problem solving. If someone's having an issue, whether it's resourcing, we don't have enough people, you know, sometimes it's mental health of the resources, that someone needs some assistance or something's going on at home, you know, we step in to help. So it's kind of everything. There's negotiating. We do statements of work and a lot of contract work with, you know, other external vendors. So it kind of, we dabble into a lot of different things. It's not just tech. When it comes to tech, there's a lot of, you know, a lot of techos getting in a room trying to come up with solutions, and I might not necessarily be part of that, but they might come to me with some options of different solutions that have impacts to the schedule, impacts to the cost. And that's where I step in and say, okay, well, what are we risking here? Are we risking time, money, quality, whatever it is? So it's kind of balancing that. So it changes. It's different every day. I think I really like to say that IT is different every day, and we have to keep up with the changes. And I know with AI coming in, you know, UniSuper are big advocates of jump on board. The train is coming. We need to jump on board and learn, and, you know, how can we be more efficient? And I know I've taken it on, and I'm loving Copilot and working through that to help my everyday, you know, running meetings at minutes is now done through AI. I no longer have to do that. So how much easier is that for me? It writes me my minutes. And yeah, it's just taken that away from the everyday, and I'm sure there's more to come with that. But yeah, my everyday is very different. Every day is very different depending on the problem that we have at hand. So it's nice that you get to dabble into different things. So if anyone's looking at program or project management, it's all of the above that you get to do. Yeah.
And it sounds like a really interesting role. And I'm just curious, like, if there's a woman listening to this right now that wants to get into technology, like any sort of like advice or any sort of like characteristics, skills that you think would really translate well into a role like you do, or a project manager role, even a project coordinator role, like any sort of thing you think, oh, you need to be pretty good at this, and this, and this, like anything that sort of stands out.
Yeah, for sure. The biggest one, I think, is relationships, because you're dealing with people every day. So you're managing people, their time, their tasks. So I think building relationships it has to be number one. So not timid, I guess, you know, someone that's ready to go out there and meet people and build good relationships with stakeholders. It's not just the ones that we're managing. It's also the expectations of the stakeholders that we're delivering to that we need to be aware of and conscious of. The other thing I would say is organization skills, number one, multitasking. And women are great at that. Can I say that? We multitask. You know, I might be on a meeting and someone sends me a message and I need to, you need to be able to multitask to do a role like this, because as I said, you're actually context switching quite a lot in a program or a project. Someone might come to you with a tech problem, but then someone else might come to you with a budget issue. So you need to be able to make that switch. Prioritization, so understanding what you're doing, for whom, by when, what's important, what are the benefits we're trying to achieve, always going back to that. So I think a conscious, you've got to kind of be an all-rounder of of looking at multiple things, not a specific skill. You've got to dabble into all of it. You need to know financials, schedules. And in terms of IT, you don't have to join in IT. There's business as well, the business flavor of project management. I just love IT because I love IT and I like to dabble in that. yeah, so I would say relationships, time management, financials are really important, I think. And just observant and open to what's the word I'm looking for? Curious. We need to be curious to be listening out for risks, issues, things that could go wrong. We almost like have to have a crystal ball to see what's coming. And, you know, because we need to react. We need to be proactive, but we also need to be reactive when things happen. Yeah.
Really solid advice. And I just feel like it's just sort of breaking down those barriers, because so many women think they've got to have like a degree in this or 10 years. No.
I didn't even say a degree, did I?
No, you did. Exactly. And that's my point. You know, I do think, you know, like what we learn in uni is going to be obsolete by the time we're out. So it's like, absolutely. I don't think university is the way to get into tech anymore, if I'm being perfectly honest. But like, what is next for you? That's like, you have really achieved a lot in your career. And I do hope you take a moment just to be proud of that. And you've also raised, I'm sure, three beautiful children in that time as well. So, you know, I just want to just take a moment to pause and say, you know, I hope you congratulate yourself. So I think as women, we don't. We're like, on to the next. Yeah. We don't probably take a pause to be like, actually, wow, I have had a really long, successful career and I'm still so young and I've got so much more energy. So where do you see yourself, Stella? Like what would be next for you, do you think?
I think now that I've kind of moved into the business space, so the opposite to the IT end, I'd like to get a few more business programs under my belt. I like to dabble into something different. So it's different to the land of IT. And then maybe something in strategy. So I'm kind of looking at, you know, what's next if I was to move out of, you know, program management, would I look into strategy? Because that's always interested me. Yeah, I think something like that might be next. And then just, yeah, more business programs under my belt, I think.
Well, I'm sure you'll have a lot of opportunities at that, being UniSuper, such a big business and definitely like a financial institution, superannuation. I mean, that's the one thing I will say about this country that I love, coming from the UK. You've actually just like, we don't have pension. Like it's like, it's not something you think about until you're pretty much retiring and go, oh, I've got no money. Whereas when I arrived in Australia from like 23, I had a superannuation account set up for me. And I think it's like, this country does a lot of things really well. And superannuation was one of those I was impressed with from day one. So I was like, wow, it's not even something I have to think about. Just 11.5% goes straight away. It's fantastic. It's like for saving for the future. So yeah, that's really good. But just final sort of questions. I think this is really important to touch upon, because we have talked a lot about sort of women, supporting women. Like, you know, are there certain things that you sort of at UniSuper that you think in particular, that's where you're working right now, that they're doing well? Like how can businesses support women to have a successful career and a nice home life as well, whatever that may be, whether it's children or not, like so they can pursue other interests outside of work?
I think the biggest thing is the flexibility. So we do have a mandate to come back into the office, you know, 50% of your time, but there is flexibility. I think it's 60%. Oops. they have flexibility. So my management team are aware I have three kids at home, and if anything comes up, you know, they're very open to, yes, no problem, you can work from home. So I think that's key. But also UniSuper are great at giving us the opportunities, like the sisterhood mentorship. My Women in Leadership course that I did was through UniSuper. You know, this podcast came about through the sisterhood mentorship. So just opportunities, I think, for women are really great at UniSuper, and they're not taking opportunity away because you're a woman. I don't feel that at UniSuper. So I've always been given the same opportunities as, you know, the males around me that I can see. And there are more males than there are females, but we're getting better. We're getting a lot better at that. So I think it's growing. And yeah, I think organizations need to be flexible and offer opportunities like this mentorship, I think has been amazing. And any other women in leadership type courses that they could, I think is really important. Mm. Yeah.
I completely agree, and that's sort of why we started it, really, because I do know it's like we need the support of corporates. We can't just do it on our own, right? We're not going to get anywhere just being a small startup initiative and having a backing like UniSuper. And the one thing I will say actually as well, because every single person I've met in that business, like, it's been very supportive of women and really wants to make change. Like the fact that, you know, the CIO came to our event recently. I was like, that's brilliant to have like him come and support the event and bring his sort of leadership team along as well. That sort of says everything for me. Like, okay, cool. This is a business that really does actually walk their talk as opposed to just, you know, ticking a box on the diversity.
Yeah, for sure.
So yeah. And I think it's just really powerful for companies to really think about that, you know, what are you actually doing as opposed to what are you just saying, right? I think that's key. But Stella, I have absolutely loved this conversation today. Thank you for sharing your journey. It truly is inspiring. Like I said, I really hope you are proud, and I look forward to following you and seeing you go on to do incredible things in your career. But if people want to connect to you and network with you, which we've talked about a lot, where do you hang out the most? Where can I send people?
Yeah, LinkedIn. Absolutely LinkedIn. Mm-hmm. Yep. Hit me up on LinkedIn. Love to connect with new people for sure.
Well, thank you so much. I'll let you get back to work now. But Stella, thank you so much for coming on today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. If you've got this far, that honestly means the world to me and lets me know that you've got a lot of value from today's episode. So if I could just ask you to do one thing, pull out your phone and please leave a quick review. It honestly would mean the world to me. It will help this podcast grow and get our message out there to more people. So if you could do that for me, that would be amazing. And please reach out and just let me know what you want to hear more about, what you're interested in. It will just also help me make sure that I'm continuing to speak to topics that are relevant and also find guests that are real true experts in what you want to know more about. So have an amazing day. Thanks so much for doing that. And I can't wait to share the next episode with you.